Well, it's a joy and a privilege for me to be here and join you, worship with you, worship the Lord with you this morning. And thank you, Sherry, for having me here at the chapel service of our seminary. Well, I was contemplating when Sherry sent me an email, and since I received that email, I was contemplating on what I'm going to share with the group of theologians who knows their Bible well, who is studying the Bible, and wow, I'm speaking to the choir. And I said, Lord, just give me a message, okay, that speaks specially to my experience. And for the past several weeks, I have been, as a field strategy coordinator, you encounter a lot of problems, especially problem of the church. And this past several days, my faith, my trust in the Lord has really been tested. And I think, well, maybe I can share with the people about my life experience or about trusting the Lord. And that really comes from my experience and from my heart. And one of the evidence of living a life, okay, I need to, all right, press this, use this technology. All right. One of the evidence of living a holy life is our full confidence and trust in God. Life can be difficult, you know, being followers of Christ in a world full of fears, full of uncertainties, possess all kinds of problems. The world does not know Christ. The world does not love Jesus. The world does not understand why he came. And followers of Jesus is in constant battle with the, you know, principalities of this world. And the world is always at war with the disciples of Christ, with you, with us, with each one of us. The world offers vices, self-fulfillment, greed, and a lot of things. I am also holding a local church, and every Sunday I'm there. Not every Sunday, but most of the Sundays I'm there. And if I'm not, the church board or some of the lay ministers or lay leaders of the church would take over the pulpit. But every time we have a series of topics that we are talking about, and we are now talking about the seven deadly sins. And what is one of that is greed. Last Sunday we talked about greed, and even pastors, even leaders of the church, you know, are being tempted of being greedy, not only with money, but even with power and with many things. The world wants the disciples of Jesus. Okay. To worship the idols of this world that distracts us from our focus on him. We have pride, we have position, we have power, we have prestige, we have pleasures, we have pornography. And you know what? That pornography, according to a study today, that pornography is one of the big enemy of pastors, of leaders in the church. At just one click of the button, you will see all things that, you know, you don't never have to deal with, but you see it anyway. And then there's also the temptation of pera, or money. That's how we say in Tagalog. I want to list all the P's, but I run out of P's. So I said, what's the P for money? And I cannot find anything, so I just say pera, or money. You know, Paul emphasizes that we are at war. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Church, the world is against you. This is the evil one is at war with each one of us. And in the battle, there are all sorts of struggles. We struggle within. There is the sin that puts us in struggle within. And there are also external struggles like illnesses, marital problems, you know, job difficulties, studies in the seminary, or poverty, whatever you can think of. We can also say there are so much uncertainties about the future and many more. Maybe right now you are facing serious struggles, or maybe you have recently had to deal with a difficult situation. Paul admonishes us in the same chapter in verse 13. He says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand." So in this world today, there is much fear and struggle because there is less fear and confidence in the Lord. There is so much fear around us because there is very little fear of the Lord. And as a Christian, what do you do when life is coming down on your heart, on you hard, when there seems to be no way out, when your relationship with God is also being affected because of these situations in life, when you are worried or afraid of the future, when you are in distress? What do you do when you are facing such monumental obstacle? How do you resist temptation? How do you flee from evil? Or believe beyond your ability to understand how your problems can be solved? The answer lies in the Word of God. And so I said, well, there's no fear. Trust in God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for this, for your Word. And I pray, Lord God, that as we go on and continue to reflect on the story of Jehoshaphat, I pray, Father, that you will teach us, lead us, and guide us, and speak to our very hearts and our minds today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Perlene, for reading part of the story of Jehoshaphat found in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, starting from verse 1 to 37. And I'm sure that you are very much familiar with the story of Jehoshaphat. So we are not going to go through all the stories. But in these stories, we can glean on three lessons. And by the way, these lessons that I'm going to share with you is also an article written by Matt Slick. He's a Baptist pastor. While I was contemplating and reading my Bible, I also encountered an article that says, "Do not fear, but trust in the Lord." And so I read that article written by this pastor, and I fell in love of his article. So allow me to share with you this article. So just want to make sure that you know that this is not mine, okay? Otherwise, I will be accused of, what do you call that, plagiarism? All right. Okay. Well, Jehoshaphat, as we all know, was the fourth king of the separated king of Judah. And he reigned about in 850 to 875 before Christ. He was a zealous follower of the commandments of God. In his third year, he sent out certain princes and priests and Levites to go through all the cities of Judah, teaching the people out of the book of the law. Because he sought the Lord, riches and honors increase around him. That is very true, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Do not lean on your own understanding. In everything, acknowledge him, for he will make your path straight." The other paraphrase says that, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will crown your efforts with success." Well, several kingdoms connive to attack Judah. And these are the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Munites, and all the Ites, including the Termites. They all connive, you know, to attack Judah and to conquer the land. And they make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was so afraid, and rightly so, for the army approaching him was indeed a mighty one. You know, fear is an emotion. Fear is part of who we are as human beings. It is beyond what he would be able to handle. He was in trouble. That's why he is fearful. But he knows what to do in that right situation. I think it's not sin to fear. But it is a different story when you are overwhelmed with fear. Reading from that passage, we can glean on three stories or three lessons from here. Number one is that you should trust God and not fear because of who He is. In verse 6, it says there, O Lord, this is the prayer of Jehoshaphat, the God of our fathers, are you not the God in heavens? And are you not the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and mighty are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. This is a declaration of Jehoshaphat. You know, God is the God of our fathers. He knows that. He lives in heaven, and He is the Holy One. His holiness radiates throughout the universe. He is also the ruler of all nations. He ruled the Philippines. He rules the United States. He ruled your country. He is the ruler of this world. He is also the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. He can do as He wishes. He can create or destroy, raise up or tear down. He can do it because He is all-powerful. But the question is, who is God to you? Is He big or is He small? Is He all-powerful or is He a coward? Or in other words, what do you call that? A wimp? Does He love you or does He just, you know, He doesn't care? And when you call upon Him, He will respond, IDC. You know what IDC is? I don't care. How you perceive God affects how you respond to Him. Let me repeat that. How you perceive God determines how you respond to Him. The people of Judah knew who God was, and that is why they looked to Him and trusted Him. In other words, we should trust God because He is holy, He is our King, He is all-powerful, and because He loves you very much. The second thing that I would like to share is that we should trust God and not fear, not only because of who He is, but also because of what He has already done, what He has done to you. Verse 7, they remember what the Lord has done to him. They said, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They keep on remembering who God is in their lives and they keep on recalling what God has done in their lives, in their nations, to them. You know, for us Christians, God has already accomplished great things. And if we look at the Bible, we can see all the marvelous, the great things that God has already done for us. I was fearful when I faced some problems, especially if it deals with leadership problems. For many times, for the past several weeks, at least two district superintendents texted me and invited me to come and help them to deal with some issues with pastors, especially as it relates to pornography. It was a sad trip to go there and talk to these pastors and see the district leadership go through the process of disciplining these pastors. It was hard days. But I can tell God, I quit. It's over. Or I can remember what God has done in the past. Because the Hebrews knew God and what He has already done for them, they sought Him again. In verse 12, they sought God. In verse 19, they praised God. Instead of complaining to God, they praised God in verse 19. They have the Levites there and who stood before the nation, and they have a loud voice and singing. They put their trust in God in verse 20. And they give thanks to God in verse 21. And they said, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The question is, what do you do when you face trials and tribulations? Do you praise God? Do you put your trust in Him? Do you give thanks to God? Here's another lesson. The character of a true Christian, or the Christian's true character, is often revealed when he faces a real life's issues and challenges. In short, our true character is revealed when we are facing problems of life. How do you handle your problem? Do you panic? Do you complain? Do you raise your fist in the air and shout to God? Do you begin to doubt His promises and many other things? As you can see, God has already done great things for the Hebrew people. He has already done great things to you as well and many more. Therefore, they return to the Lord and seek Him. Number three. This is the last. It says there, you should trust in the Lord and not fear, not only because of who He is and what He has already done, but also because of what He will do, of what He can do in the future. The people of Judah did not know what would happen, but they trusted in the Lord. Verse 15, look at this. They said, Jehoshaphat said, do not fear or discourage because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wow, what a declaration. When I was traveling to those areas where we have to deal with problems, this very verse reminds me, Stephen, the church is not yours. It is mine. And I will deal this through you. Do not be afraid. This is the declaration of Jehoshaphat and the whole nation of Judah. Do not fear or discourage because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In verse 17, they said, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, these were statements in the future tense. These were God's words of promise. And then in verse 21, look at this. Instead of complaining, instead of backing out, instead of surrendering or quitting, they worship the Lord and declare. Can we read this? Can we declare these very verses in verse 21? Ready? Read. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Come on, guys. We can do it much better, okay? Right? Let's do it once again. Ready? Go. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. There's a beautiful song that I always sing every time I'm encountering some of my fears, some of the troubles, you know. And I think it's written by Chris Tomlin. It says, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. If you know this, sing with me. His love endures forever, for He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. And then says, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. Wow. What a beautiful song. You know what, church? I don't sing, but I practice for this, okay? So thank you so much for singing with me. Well, let me share to you a story before I end. You know, one time we went to Cebu. This is last year. And we have our field strategy coordinators meeting. And after those, you know, several days of meeting, we have our three-day retreat. And we were in Cebu. And then part of the retreat is, some recreation. And so the day before, one of our field strategy coordinator, Harmon Smelsenbaugh, and his wife, you know, they are certified divers. And they said, "Hey, Stephen, I learned that in Cebu, there are several beautiful diving spots here. And I saw at the reception table of the hotel that they are providing some activity. So let's do that." I said, "Yeah, sure. You can go there." And you know what? I do not know how to swim. Okay? So I told him, "Yes, you can check it out." Okay? And then after a few hours, we are going out. We went back to the restaurant for lunch, and Harmon and Cindy was there. And he saw me and he called me, "Hey, Stephen, come on." And my wife was with me. And Harmon says, "Okay, tomorrow we are going out for diving. All the field strategy coordinator already signed up." Okay? And you know, maybe if you met Harmon Smelsenbaugh, he is always, you know, upbeat person. And you're the only one who hasn't signed up. Okay. Church people, I do not know how to swim. Now, he is inviting me to go on a diving. And, you know, my wife was with me, and my wife says, "Yeah, Stephen, you can do it." You know, I can handle peer pressure, but wife's pressure, it's a different story. And so I said, "Well, okay, sign me up." And I told my wife, "If I die, I will haunt you." And I learned that there are other FSCs who hasn't signed yet. But anyway, my name is already there. You know, we went the next morning. I'm just enjoying the company. But deep inside, my heart and my brain was saying, "You do not know how to swim. You will die. You cannot breathe underwater." And I was, my wife was with me. "Yeah, I can do it." But deep inside, I'm very much fearful, you know. So it's time for us. They brought us to this one beautiful island. And they said, "Right there, there's a beautiful, you know, diving spot." And I told the guy, the diving instructor, there were three of them. And I said, "Are you sure that I don't know, you know, I don't know how to swim. I haven't done this before." And the diving instructor says, "Yeah, you can do it. You know, you don't need to. I will guide you. I will help you." And so they started to put, Harmon is leading all the coordination. And he started to ask us to put our, you know, gear with this oxygen and fins, okay? And the fins is like that. And they started to bring out all those heavy weights and says, do we really need to put weights on our waist, you know? And I was already panicking, and I don't know what to do. And my wife says, "I can take your picture, you know." Well, picture, all right, okay. Let's do it. So I have this post. I'm laughing inside, but I'm grieving inside. Outside, I mean, but grieving inside. So we started to put on those vests and the gears and everything. And my wife says, "Smile." Took my picture and says, "Well, Lord, help me." Okay, so we're already in the water, and the diving instructor gave us orientation. tell us how to use our equipments and many other things. And he says, okay, let's go over there. It's just about 5 feet. And for just 5 minutes, we will practice using our gear. And he brought us and together with David Phillips, and you know David Phillips, the former field strategy coordinator, Philippines and Micronesia, and now he is in Southeast Asia, and he stands 6'4". He's a big body, and our diving instructor is shorter than me, and says, how can you handle two people who is taller than you? And says, don't worry, I can manage it. Okay, and he says, okay, we'll practice our gear. We'll use these oxygens and many other things. Let's remember what I have told you. And he says, kneel. By the time that I kneeled and I'm underwater, only 5 feet, I start to panic. For a few seconds, I cannot use the equipment because I am so fearful, and I'm fearful of water. And David Phillips stands because he is kneeling next to me. And he stands and he grabbed me and pulled me down. Okay. Wow, what an experience. And he says, the diving instructor says, okay, we will go start first with 10 feet. And then we will go 20 feet. And we will go about 25 feet. We cannot go more than that because as a newbie, you are not allowed to go more than that. So I was so fearful, and I says, Lord, I know I have eternal life. I already have been forgiven by my sins, so I know that I will go to heaven. Okay, but I will definitely miss my family. So we went there. That's a practice, 5 feet. And by the time that we are underwater, the diving instructor says, remember to breathe. Just remember to trust your equipment. And when we are doing that, I learn to trust my equipment. I always remember what the diving instructor says. Slowly, my fear has gone. And I start enjoying the view underwater. That's our diving instructor. The other one is me. I'm just pretending to know how to swim. But I tell you, zero swimming. But since I'm with a diving instructor, I pretend to know what I'm doing. And because of that, I started to enjoy the beauty of the ocean. I started to see the things that I don't see in real life. I only see the ocean underneath through Facebook or through pictures or through YouTube or television. But this time, I see it for real, you know, personally. I was just reflecting on this. And sometimes we are so fearful of the things that is around us. Even small things, we are so fearful. But the Lord has already given us the tool, the power, His word, His promises. And the Lord keeps on reminding us, remember my promises. Remember that I gave you power. Remember that I will always be with you. And then we were there for about 30 to 45 minutes just enjoying the beauty of the ocean underneath. And then our diving instructor says, let's go up. And so I thought that we are really going up, you know, but he dragged us to another area, and there is a stone just as big as this, and he make a gesture to us to hold that stone. And so David Phillips and I, you know, hold that stone, and the diving instructor gestured to us, just wait. I said, what? Are you going to leave us? I'm not talking, okay? I'm underwater. This is in my mind. And the diving instructor went away. We don't see him. But deep inside my mind, I says, Lord, if I run out of oxygen, I don't know what to do. I'll just grab the oxygen of this man. Yeah. But during that time, I was just reflecting, you know, sometimes God would be silent, as if God will just leave us in that place. And all we need to do is to keep trusting in Him. If He is silent, we just need to keep trusting in Him. And then after a few minutes, our diving instructor came back and bring us to safety. The Bible is full of God's promises and invitation for us to trust Him. Okay, let me just... Yes, those are some of the pictures that was taken. All right. Because of who God is and what He has already done for you, you can trust Him. And His Word is full of God's promises and invitation for us to trust Him. I don't know how many promises, exact promises that God, the number of God's promises in the Bible. Some Bible scholar says that there are about more than 3,000, you know, promises of the Lord. Some says there are 3,685, but it's many. Many, many. And even in 1 year with 365 days, each day, God has a promise for us. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, in Matthew chapter 28. He said that His words will not pass away in Mark chapter 13, verse 31. He said that He would raise you up on the last day in John chapter 6. He said that whatever you ask in His name would be given to you in John chapter 14. He said He would disclose Himself to you in John chapter 14. And He said He would return in the clouds and that every eye will see Him in Mark chapter 13. Verses after verses, we can find the promises of the Lord. And again, because of who God is and what He has already done for you, church, you can trust Him even more for the future and have no fear. For He will continue to uphold you, He will continue to love you, and He will continue to do His wonderful things, the wonderful plans for your life. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much, Lord God, for reminding us of how you love us, of how you care for us. And Father, I pray that you will continue to help us to focus our eyes on you and put our trust in you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for encouraging us today. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.